dates, I think. So do remember that. That's the WMU Christmas party. That will be being catered by Miss Mabel. And so that'll be $15 a person, and that needs to be paid to Miss Mabel. So right now there's not any signed up, so definitely want to encourage you to do that today. And so if you'll let Miss Joe or Miss Janice know and get those checks or $15 to them so that they can get that to Miss Mabel. And also I think there's a choice of meat as well, and they can give you that choice to make as well. So do remember that coming up real quickly. So do make plans on being there for that. Also, Janet Dubois mentioned that a young lady has came to work with Jim, and she's from California, and it's just her and her son has moved out here, and so they really don't have anything, and they're trying to do, a fresh start. And so basically, if there's anybody in the church that has maybe some unwanted furniture that you don't need, if you will, see me or Miss Janet after the service, and we'll try to coordinate that and try to get them. My understanding is they pretty well need everything. So if you've got anything that's just sitting around that you don't want that they could use to sit on, that would be a blessing. So just let me know or Miss Janet know after the service, all right? And I think that takes care of our announcements, other than there'll be no Wednesday night service this week, so make sure you mark that down as well. We don't miss very many around here, but being Thanksgiving's Thursday, a lot of families traveling in and different things there, so we will not be having a Wednesday night service, so do remember that as well, all right? And so with that being said, we'll open with a word of prayer. Brother Rusty, if you would, why don't you open us this morning?
Let us stand this morning. We'll sing our first song. We're going to sing, "We Gather Together." Let us stand.
That knew that song did really good on it. I had to say something, honestly. I It's unusual when there's a song sung that I don't know, but there was one. You got me on one. By way of prayer request, let me mention just a few this morning, and then we'll have our time together in prayer. I do remember Tim. Tim took a fall this week, Friday, actually, out of the back of his work truck and has broke a rib, and so he's real sore. And so just continue to remember him. And then remember Kathy as she's having to try to take care of him. So definitely continue to remember them as you pray. Jan Kellett, continue to remember her. Jan's still struggling with a lot of different issues there. So just pray the Lord touch and help there. She got up this morning with all intention of trying to come. And then as time got closer and closer, she was just unable to do so. So definitely remember Jan as you pray. And if you get the opportunity, shoot her a text or give her a call. Encourage her as well. Then also Arthur, continue to remember Arthur Breedlove, doing well. Margaret said the pain medicine's working really good, so praise the Lord for that. But they're hoping in just a few days that he won't need any of that and that the stimulator will help with the ongoing pain that he's been dealing with there. So just pray, Lord, touch and help and heal him quickly. Then also, Eddie Bright, we've mentioned him a lot on Wednesday night. This is a young man that works with Rusty. He found out this week that his kidneys are in failure, so they're going to probably put him back on the kidney transplant list. So if you will, definitely remember him as you pray. And then also Ruby Stevenson, this is my wife's aunt. She did go to the oncologist, a PET scan or whatever, determined that she is stage one lung cancer, which is a praise report. They were concerned that it was much worse than that. So there, just continue to remember that, but thankful that it's no worse than what it is. But definitely continue to remember Ruby as you pray as well. Pat and Earl, we've mentioned them a lot, but definitely continue to remember them as they continue to battle a lot of different struggles as well. Also, Caleb and Katrina Mack, continue to remember them. God knows the need there, so just pray especially for Caleb and then also Katrina as well, and just pray that the Lord will continue to do a work there as he's already began. Karen Buckner, this is Eloise's daughter, if you will, remember her as well. Had a lot of trouble sleeping and having issues with her legs, so definitely remember her as you pray. And then Joe Burgess, a lot of y'all know Joe, and if you will, remember him. Joe is in St. Francis and having a lot of issues out of both of his legs. They're thinking he may have fluid around his heart, and then also thinking that he may have a touch of pneumonia. So Joe is not doing well at all. So if you will, remember him as he's in St. Francis. And so just continue to pray for him. I think that's most of the ones. Ravana, if you will, remember Ravana. Ravana's got some surgery coming up in February. So definitely be praying for her as well as she begins preparing for that. It's going to be about a six-week recovery, so just be praying that the Lord touch and help there. All right. Other outspoken? Yes, ma'am. Others? Yeah, definitely remember that. The Oconee County deputies, so definitely be praying for them and that family. Others? Are they outspoken? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's be praying that God continue to keep his hand upon our church, also that he continue to lead and guide our country. And then we also need to pray for rain. And I know Tennessee's battling some wildfires now. I heard this morning that I-40 Gorge is another big wildfire that just broke out. There was one right around Dollywood, and we kind of all live in a community that's got plenty of leaves on the ground. So definitely be praying that God will continue to keep sending the rain. That's a good thing. All right. All right. go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we are so thankful, God, as we bow before you, Lord. We're thankful that, Lord, you sit upon the throne, sovereign and supreme, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. And even in the midst of a world that's filled with chaos, we can lean upon you and trust in you, knowing that you do all things well, and that one day it'll all be brought to an end, just as you had planned it to be. And Lord, you'll sew it all up and finish it all out, and it'll be all according to thy purpose. And we praise you this morning, Lord, that you do and are the sovereign God of the universe. And we're thankful that, Lord, as we make our request known, Lord, we're calling upon the one who is the great physician, who knows our needs and our requests even before we make them known. And we know you hold the answers to each and every one of them. And God, we place each one of these names before you. Many needs mentioned this morning, a variety of situation and ailments and things going on. But Lord, we know whether it be pain or cancer or pneumonia or whatever it may be, we know, Lord, you're able to touch, help, and heal in the midst of that situation. And Lord, we just pray that, God, you go to each one of these individuals, and Lord, by your power and through your touch, may you just overwhelm them in a mighty way, take away the pain, and show yourself, Lord, in a mighty way, and get glory in the midst of each one of these situations. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would just continue to keep your hand upon this church, all that we endeavor to do here, and all that, Lord, we are trying to do to bring glory unto you. And we just ask that, Lord, you'd just continue to bless those efforts, Lord, and you'd continue to get glory out of all that we do. And God, we'll praise you for that. We think of our country and where we live, and Lord, the situation that we're in. And Lord, we just ask that you'd give our leaders wisdom, raise up the men that's needed, Lord, to lead and guide this country in a way that would be pleasing unto you. And Lord, we just pray, God, for those that may be lost in our leadership of our government, that you'd save them before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, then empower them to do the right thing. And Lord, to take the country back in the direction that you'd have it to go. We're thankful that in the midst of our prayers and our asks, Lord, we know that you know what we need on a daily basis. Lord, we just think of our area and this region, and Lord, the fires that's already been broke out and are breaking out. And Lord, we just ask that, God, you would touch and help in the midst of that. Continue to send rain. Lord, we praise you, God, for the showers that we had this week. We just ask that, Lord, you'd continue to bless us, Lord, with rain from heaven. Lord, we praise you this morning. And Lord, as we go into this service, God, we just ask that, Lord, you would take control of it all. Lord, that you would lead and guide in the song service. And Lord, then we pray as the message is preached, have your will and way in all that. And Lord, I pray, give us ears to hear, hearts that would receive, and God, truly lives that would worship you this morning in spirit and truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand and we'll sing our offertory hymn, Count Your Blessings. this morning, as we're looking towards Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming up Thursday, and as we're going to be sitting around a table and eating a bunch of food and spending time with families, I thought, you know, one of the things I wanted to do this morning was bring our hearts to the fact that none of that would be possible, none of that would be worth doing if Jesus Christ wouldn't have died on the cross and if God wouldn't have sent his son to do that for us. So this morning I want to kind of lead us. I'm going to sing three songs, and I want to lead us through those songs. I'm going to put some thoughts in your head before we sing each song and kind of bring, you know, just think about that. Think about how much each song means. It's going to have a special meaning. The first song we're going to sing is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. As we sing that song, let's thank God for his blessings. Next song, let's thank God for his faithfulness. Doxology. As we sing that, let's just think about what God's done for us.
That Wednesday night, December the 6th, the Grove is going to go do some Christmas caroling to some of our shut-ins. So, parents, mark your calendars for that. December the 6th, they'll still meet here at the church. They'll leave from here and then be back here after the service. So, mark your calendars for that. December the 6th, youth going Christmas caroling. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Where we was last Sunday morning and Sunday night. I struggled over where to go today. I had a message around Thanksgiving, but God just wouldn't let me leave the series. I struggled last night, and God solidified which way we were going, and so we're going to continue our thoughts we've been looking at this month around the parables found in Matthew, Mark, and then Luke as well, the one that we're going to look at this morning. And we've kind of looked at these parables. Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to these different knows the good from the bad, and at the end of it all, not one tare will be spared, and not one piece of wheat will be lost. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad of that, that the God knows who is and who ain't his children? Looked at the contributive crop, looking at the growing seed found here in Mark chapter 4, and how we see from that the power of the seed. God's word will not return void, but will accomplish exactly what God intends it to accomplish, power in the word. And so we've seen the sower and the seed, and I don't feel like we can leave without touching on the parable that we have today, and it's the parable of the souls. I spoke from Matthew one Sunday night. I don't even remember when since I've been here. But I want to look at it in a different light than what I looked at in that Sunday night. But it's a familiar parable. Out of the three, we all are more familiar probably with it and the wheat and the tares than we are the growing seed. But I don't know that any is any bigger than any of the others. Like I said, each one emphasizes something different. As I said, I'm going to allow the parable to be expounded as Jesus expounded it. And so if we begin reading in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, we find Jesus' words here as he begins to speak the parable unto the multitude. He says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was out, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Drop down to verse 14. Here Jesus begins to explain, interpret the parable that he had just shared. Notice as he begins to expound this parable, as I said, with all the other parables, we're going to place emphasis where Jesus placed emphasis. And if you notice in verse 14, he said, "The sower soweth the word." That's the only explanation that he gives toward the sower. Really the only explanation he gives toward the word. We find in other aspects where the parable is written that we find the sower is the Son of Man. Jesus himself is out sowing. We know that the word is the seed is the word of God. But now notice as he continues on from here on to verse 20, it's an analysis of the soul. An examination, you might say, of what he's trying to say concerning the soul. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard the word, let me start that verse over. And these are they which by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have now to open up your word. We're thankful, Lord, that as we do that, we rest confidently in the fact of it being your word. Truly the prophet, the result, rests not so much on how I deliver it, not so much on the eloquence in which I present it. But Lord, we rest confidently in the fact that the power of the word is truly what makes the difference in the life. Salvation comes from your word. The faith that is grown and the fruit that's produced, that of an eternal life, everlasting life, comes from your word. And so, Lord, I ask you this morning that, God, you would hide me behind the cross and preach through me your word. Take what's upon my heart, place it upon my lips, and preach it with unction. But this morning, as we examine the passage before us, God, my prayer is that you prepare not just the ear of the hearer, but the heart. Lord, as your word goes forth, the realization is seen in this parable that one out of four is all that truly hears you, that hears and receives you. Pretty staggering odds when we think about the congregations that are sitting around the world this morning listening to your word. Lord, I dare believe, I dare say, that within this sanctuary, or even those that may be watching by video, there may be some of them that fall into the categories of three of the four that truly never hear. Lord, this morning, God, I'm asking, open the ear of the hearer as well as the hearts, that they might receive. We ask all this in the blessed name of Jesus.
Amen. As you think about the passage this morning, it's almost sobering. We've heard it mentioned and heard it read, most of us, from the time we were children. And because of our association with the parable and our acknowledgement of hearing the parable, and because we've come to the understanding of it so much that the true volume of what's being spoken here, I don't know, really resonates in the heart of those of us that do believe. When you look at Jesus as he's trying to expound to the multitude as well as his disciples that this is the picture of the kingdom of God. This is the picture of what you're going to be facing. He looks at his apostles, his disciples, those 11 men that will carry on the gospel and take it around the world. He's preparing them for what they're going to experience, not just as the church begins to be birthed and begins to take its first steps, but even where we're at in 2023, he wants us to realize as we look around the landscape of what we see to be the kingdom of God, he wants us to know that there's evil planted amongst the good as it is with the wheat and tares. He wants us to understand that truthfully the only thing that we've got that can make a difference in the world in which we live is not our ideas, it's not our philosophies, it's not our traditions, but it is the power of the seed that's going to transform the life. It is truly the Word of God that's going to make a difference. But what's really sobering is when we look at the landscape and the scope of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is to realize that there's many seeds that's going to be sown. Many, many times the Word of God is going to go forth, but in the midst of going forth, it's going to fall on four different types of soil. And out of those four different types of soil, only one is prepared to receive it. Only one will become fruitful. Only one will produce a harvest. The other three are passed away. And with that kind of odds, that tells me that only 25% of the Word of God that's being sown today is truly falling upon good ground. That ought to be amazing to us as a church to think. If you take those statistics and you take those odds and you put them not just across the kingdom of God, but put it across the landscape of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, what that's telling us is that 75% had the potential or the possibility of sitting under the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, taking in all the aspects of the service around the Word of God, and yet leaving this building and never truly receiving anything from God. That's staggering. It's overwhelming to think out of a multitude of people, 25% God's Word produces an effect that lasts for eternity. With that being said, I think, or I hope, it would open all of our ears as well as our hearts to truly re-examine this parable one more time. Because I don't know about you, but I know about me. I personally want to be found among the wheat. All said and done. I don't know about you and don't know where you're sitting at this morning or where your mindset is, but I know where I'm at. I want to go to heaven when this is all over with. I don't want to go to hell. And what this passage shows us is there's a possibility among the kingdom of God, among the kingdom of heaven, that there's 75% of people that are not prepared in their heart to hear from God. And as you think about that, he gives us these four soils to examine ourselves by, or to examine the harvest by, or to explain the constricted crop that's produced. Because is that not an amazing thing? He is the sower, and could you find a better sower than the Lord Jesus himself? Absolutely not. We find that as the sower has a heart to sow, he sows across all four soils. He doesn't leave anything open. He casts his seed upon all the soils, even though some are not prepared. Can I tell you that there, when it comes to Reformed theology, Roger Morgan does not stand in the middle of Reformed theology, because this Bible teaches me that there is no limited atonement with God. This Bible teaches me that God is there to save the whole world, that the blood that Jesus shed on the cross has enough power to save anyone, whosoever will, that'll call upon the name of the Lord. This Bible tells me that if you take it from the standpoint of a limited atonement, you've got to tear out that he had none to perish. No, not one. Paul said he would see all be saved. Tear that verse out of your Bible. What I'm telling you is that God is a God that's sowing. And when it comes to sowing, he can do better than Preacher Roger. He can do better than you can do. He is sowing and casting his seed across all landscapes of life. And he's not missing a spot. Not one person will not have the opportunity. Not one person will not have seed cast upon them. The Bible says that they'll all hear. And that's why it says every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess, because they'll all stand guilty before a God that they rejected Jesus Christ by. It's a compacted soil is what we lead to first. So the power of the seed becomes ineffective when you fall upon compacted soil. The compacted soil here is seen as that of hard soil. It says in verse 4, it's wayside. It's a comparison to a hard heart. The condition of this soil is compacted over time. The wayside means that the footpaths in Israel's day, they were farms laid out and fields laid out, and they crisscrossed one another, and in between these fields was footpaths that they would walk upon to travel from place to place. And as those footpaths were traveled upon, the ground would become compacted underneath the weight of all these people going from place to place, here to there, from one end of the field to the other end of the field. This part of the soil would become so hard and packed, it would become solid to the point that the seeds would just lay upon top. And as you think about that when it comes to a hard heart, how does a heart become hard? Can I tell you, it's through the same process. It's compacted over time. There's people that will never come to the understanding of Jesus Christ as the Son of God because of the family they were raised in. An alcoholic dad, an abusive mom, whatever the situation, over the course of time, year after year, and the wear and the wear and the wear of that soul being crushed beneath the weight of the people that it comes in contact with, the heart becomes harder and harder and harder. You remember a few months ago I preached a message to honor and look at the Lord and while you're young, because as you get older, it becomes harder and harder to see the goodness of God. Because of that compaction, can I tell you, we've got an educational system that is producing hard hearts. By teaching evolution, you know what they're doing? They're pushing a generation away from creation, a God who's come out of nothing and spoke it all into existence. You know what that's doing? That's making the heart hard. You know, when they sit there and tell you that there's 450 different genders in the day and time in which we live, when the Bible clearly tells us that it's male and female, do you know what's taking place there? The heart is being compacted. The soul is being made solid. The heart is being made hard. And what I want you to understand is, if it was going on in Jesus' day, how much more is it so in our day? The colleges that we consider to be the premier of United States of America, they teach anything but religion anymore. Though that was the foundational principle that established our colleges, was to raise up men and women who had an understanding of the Word of God and could proclaim it with power. Those same colleges today won't even allow you to expound upon the Word of God in their halls. What I'm telling you is we're producing a people that's got a hard heart. Compacted. What happens when the condition is so solid? What happens when the heart is so hard? We see that the capability of the seed is stolen. Verses 4 and verses 15 shows us that. It came to pass as it is sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. If you look down in verse 15, Jesus expounded in the way by saying, and but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away. Can I give it to you practical this morning at how all this lays out before us? And I'm just using it as an example in this church. I'm not trying in any way to say there's many in here with a hard heart. But I want you to understand to put rubber where the rubber meets the road, to try to expound upon it as the Bible tells you. Can I tell you like this? As I've sit here and begin to preach the gospel this morning, as I've opened up the Word of God, God is using me to cast seeds. And you know what happens as God is casting seeds? Some of y'all are sitting out there right now, and I dare say there may be one, there may be two, there may be more, sitting amongst the congregation or watching online, and as I'm beginning to preach, there's automatically a hardness. There's something that is not allowing what God is saying to truly go beyond the ear that you're listening with. You're not willing to accept it. And so as the Word's going forth, can I tell you that Satan's got his buzzards sitting all over the power lines waiting for the Word to fall. And before you walk out these doors, before you get in the car, before you make it home, the devil's done took what seeds that's been planted over the course of 30 minutes or 40, based on how long I preach. He done stole it. You want to know the handicap that a youth group faces? It's when those kids only have 1 hour a week to be sowed in. Some of them may come from background. They're hard. We've got 1 hour to cast as many seeds as possible while Satan's buzzards are sitting all around their lives waiting to take what seeds are sown away. The compacted soil. The second soil I call the cosmetic soil. The cosmetic soil looks good. It's impressive when you look at it. It says, and some fell upon stony ground. When you first think of that, we think of a field with rocks sticking out of it. But if you notice, as you look at that verse, the stones are not seen because it says where it had not much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. So what I want you to understand about this soil looks good on the surface. The condition of the soil, though, is very shallow. And because it's very shallow, it's very deceptive. If you think about how that works, it works kind of like if you go over in front of the parsonage and you walk off the front steps of the parsonage. You can take just a few steps, and as you take a few steps, you'll notice there's some beautiful lush grass all around the front yard. But then there's one spot where you'll see a bare rock. Now the rest of it looks really good. But you know what happens in the middle of the summer when it's really hot? You'll find out that that rock goes further than what you can see. It's underneath the soil. And because that rock is just barely under the soil, it heats up. And as it heats up, it'll dry that grass out quicker than the rest of the yard, and you'll have a dead spot. And the dead spot's not there because the soil ain't good. It's there because the soil ain't deep. See, the picture here is the condition of this soil is it's shallow. And because it's shallow, there's a problem underneath the soil that prevents the seed from taking root. I call the first one is the hard heart. This one here I call the hypocritical heart. Because it receives the seed and it begins to produce like it's going to do something with the seed. It springs up. There's a little bit of life. There's a little bit of energy. There's a little bit of effect from the seed to the point that you almost think it's going to make it. It looks like it. It acts like it. It appears like it. But if you'll notice what it says there, is the capability of this soil is very short-lived. The seed is short-lived. Notice it says, because it had no root, verse 6 says, it withered away. Verse 17, as Jesus expounds it, he says, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, and afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The capability of the seed is short-lived in the hypocritical heart. One of the solidifications of me preaching the message this morning was Tony Kellett's testimony yesterday at the Men's Brotherhood. I'm not going to share all of his testimony. But when I think of the second soul, I think of a testimony. As a child, never raised in church, but kind of fell in love with a brown-eyed little girl that went to church. And he winds up going. As he goes, he starts thinking, you know, this ain't a bad life. I can do this. Starts cleaning up. Starts looking like the other people sitting on the pews around him. Even we go so far as to say, preacher, I want to be baptized. And then starts to teach a Sunday school class, even though he doesn't know who Christ is. You say, does that happen? All the time. You know what that is? One of two things will happen in that kind of soil. Either the stone will be removed, as it was in Tony's case, and the seed takes root. Or somewhere along the way, the storm comes, and they're gone. You know how I know those people? I'm Roger Morgan. I'm the pastor of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. I ain't going to church. Why is that? I was hurt down there. I mean, you wouldn't believe what those people done to me. I mean, that just... What does Jesus say happens to them? They get offended. You know what offended is?
Well, you wouldn't believe. I've been around a lot of people, and those church people are some of the worst people in the world.
Can I tell you, if you're coming to church for the people, you're coming for the wrong reason. I come to see Him. He's all that matters. You know how you know the shallow Christian? Because they're more concerned about surface than they are depth. They're a multitude. Heard a preacher say one time when he knocked on that door and they said,
I wouldn't go to church with a bunch of hypocrites.
He said, well, the choice is yours. You can either go to church with them or hell with them. That's pretty powerful, ain't it? The choice is yours. The cosmetic soul, hypocritical heart. Then you've got the crowded soul. I call this the hindered heart. Look what it says here in verse 7 concerning them. It says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. I see this being painted the very same way. Basically, the soil looks good. The soil looks receptive. The seeds fall into it. But the problem is not only are the good seeds being thrown into this, but there's also some remaining bad seeds. And so as these good seeds come up, these thorns come up. And so the condition of the soil, I consider it to be suppressed. It's just not prepared. Without any corruption around it. And so what you have here is you have these thorns that grow up alongside of the good seed. And as these thorns grow up, because there's so many of them and because there's so much of it, that eventually what happens is the capability of the seed is strangled. It's choked out. That's what Jesus said. Look at what he says in verse 7. He says that it, as some fell upon among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Look down in verse 19. You'll see it there. He says in verse 19, and the cares of the world, this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It's like a boa constrictor. Do you realize a boa constrictor, what it does, it wraps around. And every time the prey breathes in, it gets another little inch. And then you're not able to breathe out. And you breathe in, it takes another inch. Can't breathe out. Breathe in, and eventually it's short breath. And the shorter the breath, the quicker the constriction happens. See, that's these thorns. The Word is powerful. The Word is potent. The Word has the capability of making a difference. But because there's so many thorns planted around the Word is choked out. Look at the three areas that's mentioned. There's thorns of worry or problems, is the way it says. Cares of this world. Can I tell you that just because you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it does not mean you're put on a road to lilies and lollipops. Your days are short and full of trouble. And can I tell you that it rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. Just because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ does not mean you've been given a clear bill of health. Not mean that there's not going to be financial problems. It does not mean there's not going to be relationship problems. What putting your faith in Christ does means that you don't have to go through any of that alone. You've got a God that'll walk with you. Thorns of worry or problem. Thorns of wealth and prosperity. See, the thing about riches is, think that that's a good thing. The Bible says that along with riches comes the love. Love for riches, right? The love for money. It's okay to have great wealth, long as great wealth don't have you. That's the problem with prosperity. Those thorns raise up and chokes out the sacrificial heart that comes with that of being a Christian. And then the one that I think is probably the most Americanized part of this parable, not only do you see the riches, cares of the world, but notice the lust of other things. See the thorns of wants, pleasure. It's amazing the culture in which we live. We raise our children, and our children grow up, and hopefully they get married, and they move on and begin their own lives. But it's amazing to me how now I can remember when I was young, come out. I came out, got married with nothing. I mean nothing. I mean it was not from the standpoint of do you get a 42-inch TV or a 60-inch TV. It's that you went with no TV. But we've got a generation now that thinks they ought to move out of the house and have everything that mama and daddy's had that they've worked for 30 years. And so what they'll do is go down and they'll rent it all, or they'll buy it all on a thing called credit. And you know what they've done? They've bound themselves in the thorns of this world to the point that they cannot do anything for Christ because they're over and under debt so far that they're limited by what their freedoms are because they've tried to have everything that mama and daddy had. Choked out. A hindered heart. Can I tell you, if you look around the scope of the landscape of the kingdom of God, those three hearts you'll see. Charles Spurgeon said that you'll find all four sitting on any congregation on any given Sunday. the hindered heart, hypocritical heart, and the hard heart. But now I want you, Ashley, and I'm done, the hospitable heart. Here we see conducive soil. Soil that is ready to receive God's word. The soil that's ready to allow the power of the seed to make itself manifest in the soil that it comes in contact with. See, as you think about this, ultimate goal is the sower, right? To transform the landscape of the soil forever with the power and the potential of the seed to raise up a crop that looks like the seed that was planted. So if the seed is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's the end effect of it? It's the end effect to allow that gospel seed to go forth concerning Christ, and inside of that soil will spring up fruit that will look like Christ. That's what the church should be. Here we find the condition of this soil is softened. The word good comes from a Greek word, means a Greek word kalos. It means it's good, it's valuable for use. It's a heart that's receptive, a heart that's humble, a heart that's willing to learn, a heart that's willing to understand what they are in relation to who God is. It's a condition of soften, a tender heart, a hospitable heart. And you want to see what its capability is? Can I say it's summed up with significance? Look what verse 20 says. Bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold. Some 60, some 100. Only soil that produces fruit out of the four. You say, does that mean the others lost their salvation? No. The others never had it. The fruit is salvation. Only one soul God makes an impact and a difference in. The fruit is the evidence of a receptive heart. So can I tell you, spoken from this parable, I can give you many other scriptures. If there is no fruit in your life, there is no grace in your heart. Period. If there is no fruit in your life, there is no grace in your heart. I could take you over to Romans and show you where Romans calls out grace as a body of water, is the way I like to look at it. And you're never going to go down in the grace of God and come up dry. It ain't going to happen. Grace transforms everything. It takes a soil that's barren and not just springs up fruit, not just springs up the stalks, but springs up fruit. And you say, how significant is the capability of a softened soil? Can I tell you, the seed bears fruit with the proportion of the heart that it possesses. The more soft, the more hospitable a heart is, the larger the harvest. Because God's word can cover it all. See, you know what most Christians do? We have areas of our life that's hard. Let God in. We have areas of our life that truly we could almost say is stony. We'll allow God in a little bit, but only so far. We have areas of our life that we consider to be thorny. It's the stuff that we're holding on to and won't let God have. And then we're foolish enough to believe that because we've got this little part of us that we allow God in, that That's good soil that's coming up. In other words, I think a lot of the church is deceived in believing we can have all four hearts in one. But can I tell you that I believe the sower teaches a different lesson. You're either one of the four. Either your heart's hard, your heart's hypocritical, your heart's thorny and deceived, or your heart's hospitable to His Word. Which are you? When it comes to God, do you see the fruit of the evidence of the seed show forth the evidence of God's grace? Old things are passed away, behold, all things come new. In the life of a believer, it should be a standing field of I heard a testimony this week of another one. I ain't going to share the name. Somewhere down the road, maybe they'll share their testimony. But they said they sat under a preacher, and the preacher said, but was preaching on when they had heard from God, and they realized they had made a profession in VBS, but had never heard from God. And they began to get under conviction. Grace makes a difference. And there's always evidence of it. Head bowed, eyes closed. Father, we come to truly probably the most important part of the service. That's where with each of us, with our head bowed and our eyes closed, truthfully, if we're honest and open with ourselves, it's really the point in time in which each of us should have our ears tuned to You, listening. The one with the hard heart, yeah, their mind may be distracted and maybe they're not listening, but the others may be. And Lord, in 30 years of ministry, I've seen a hard heart become the tender soil. In 30 years of ministry, I've seen the thorns of life that were choking out once a heart that was consumed in this world become a heart and a soul that could produce a crop. I've seen the transformation that comes when we're willing to not just hear You, but heed You. My prayer is with every head bowed, eyes closed, Lord, this morning, that we'd bow our hearts to You. And we could say with the scripture writer, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Make us what we can't make ourselves. Make us hospitable. I believe we've got to be willing. We've got to decide. We've got to choose You. And Lord, in this congregation this morning, there might be one that may be hard. There might be one that may be hindered. And there might be one that may be hypocritical. Lord, I pray, speak to them right now. And change their heart. Give them the courage to allow You to change your heart. Do a supernatural work that only You can do as we do this invitation in Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Standing to your feet this morning. Philip's coming around to sing a hymn of invitation. I'm not asking for an emotional display this morning because that's no different than a shallow soul. But if God has spoke to your heart in any kind of way and you need time around this altar, it's open. If there's somebody that God put on your heart that you want to pray for, the altar's open. And if you need me to pray with you, I'm here. As we sing, be obedient to whatever God's got on your heart.